Now I want to read just a few verses just at the end of Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. End of Mark, chapter 1, I should have said, rather than the end of Mark's Gospel. It's going to take us a wee while before we get to the end of the Gospel. But we're at the end of the first chapter. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll read from verse number 40 to verse 45. It says, "And there came a leper to him," that is to the Lord Jesus, "beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightway charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said to him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." And again, we're sure God will add a blessing to the reading of his word tonight. We just want very simply for the next half hour just to look at this story about the cleansing of the leper. It's interesting that as we read through the Gospel, there were various lepers that came into contact with the Lord Jesus. And the Bible always speaks about the lepers being cleansed. We don't read about the curing of a leper. We read about the cleansing of a leper. Because leprosy was a disease that was absolutely loathsome. It made the individual unclean and loathsome in the sight of others. And so the Bible speaks about the cleansing of lepers, rather than the curing of the disease of leprosy. And of course, as we've looked at the various incidents in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 1, we've noticed that sin manifests itself in different ways. We thought of the man in the synagogue, and he was really a picture of the uncleanness of sin. He had an unclean spirit. And we noticed that men and women in the sight of God are defiled, they're unclean. That sin is an unclean thing in the sight of God. The uncleanness of sin. And then we noticed in Peter's mother-in-law in the house in Capernaum, we noticed the restlessness of sin. We noticed that she had a fever. And we all know that when we have a fever, we're agitated, we're restless. We can't find anywhere to put our head, and we toss and we turn. And we thought of that woman with her fever as a picture of the restlessness that sin brings into the lives of men and women. And I'm sure those who were with us on these two evenings, when we spoke about the uncleanness of sin and the restlessness of the sinner, I'm sure there was things in the lives of these, in the message that apply to your life. And we think of all the restlessness in society. We think of all the agitation in the lives of men and women. It's all because of sin. But here when we're presented with the leper at the end of Mark's Gospel, it's not so much the uncleanness or the restlessness of sin, it's the loathsomeness of sin. There was nothing so loathsome, there was nothing so abominable as a leper. And yet, it was a man in a condition like that, a loathsome condition, a vile condition, that came into contact with the Lord Jesus and was gloriously and wonderfully and miraculously cleansed. See, what I want to stress at the very start of our meeting tonight is just what sin looks like and what sinners look like in the sight of a holy God. You see, we become almost insensitive to sin. Sin is just so much part of our life and so much part of society that we have become used to it. But oh, if we could just see, even just for a moment tonight, if we just get a little glimpse of how God sees our sin and how God sees us as sinners. Oh, that we might see ourselves in all our uncleanness and all our restlessness and all our loathsomeness. I tell you, my friend, there's really nothing pretty about us in the sight of God. There's really nothing attractive about us. Poor, vile, dirty, wretched, ruined, loathsome sinners before God. That's what we are. And yet how wonderful that God still loves us. And God still reaches out his hand of mercy and grace towards us. And God can take poor, loathsome, vile sinners and he can transform them. He can change them completely, bringing them into his family, reconciling them to himself, and making them citizens in this world that he can have pleasure in as he sees his son being formed in them moment by moment and day by day. But oh my friend, at the start of the meeting, if we could just get a little glimpse of how God sees us. You see, leprosy was one of those diseases that started very small. It just started as a very small white dot in the skin. It might have been in the back of the hand. It might have been somewhere in the leg. It might have been somewhere in the face, but it just started as one small white dot. And then it grew. And it grew. And it grew. And it grew. That's like sin, isn't it? We're living in a world that is polluted by sin. We're living in a society that is almost collapsing round about us because of sin. It has affected every single person. And yet it started way back in the Garden of Eden about 6,000 years ago. It started as a very small thing. One act of disobedience against God. One man rebelling against God. One man sinning against God. And that sin has spread right down through the human race and affects every one of us and affects the society in which we live. Just starting small but spreading. Oh, it not only started small in relation to the human race, it started small in your individual life. You're sitting here in the meeting and you can't even remember the first time that you sinned. That happened when you were just a baby. When you rebelled, when you said no, when you tried to exercise and exert your own will against the will of your parents, that was the first manifestation of sin. I've had four little children in my home. And I didn't need to tell any of them to say no. Didn't need to teach any of them to tell lies. Didn't he instruct them how to be deceptive? They just wear all these things. Why? Because it was in them. The Bible tells us that we're born in sin. The very moment we come into this world, we've got a sinful nature that expresses itself even in childhood form. And just grows and grows and grows and grows. My friend, you're in the meeting tonight. And there's not one of us could ever, ever, ever calculate the number of sins that we've committed in life. We can hardly count the number of sins we've committed today. It's just something that multiplies day by day in our lives. Starts so small, but spreads and spreads and spreads. One of the problems with leprosy was simply this, that it affected all the endings of the nerves as it spread through the body, and it made the individual insensitive. And a man or a woman with leprosy could pick up something that had just come straight from the fire and wouldn't feel a thing, despite the fact that the tips of the fingers were just burning away. Someone with leprosy could fall and could be wounded and feel nothing, but the effects were seen in the body, and the wounds that it received would fester. My friend, that's just like sin, isn't it? That's just like sin as it rampages in human life, in human society. It just makes men and women insensitive. And they play around with things that hurts them. And they don't seem to realise it. Isn't that our society? Isn't that your life tonight? The way that you've been living has been hurting you. It's been wounding you. It's been having an adverse effect on you morally, spiritually, physically, financially, in every way, socially. And you become insensitive. And it's all because of the rampaging effects of sin in your life. Can you imagine what a leper looked like after a few years of that rampaging disease? With fingers and face and hands and feet, all marred and spoiled and ruined. And that disease spreading over the whole body. Loathsome. Loathsome. The Bible tells us that because of leprosy, men had to be separated from society. It was a disease that spread from one to another. It was contagious. Nothing so contagious as sin. And the individual that had leprosy was put outside the city. Had to live out in the caves. And every time he saw another human being, he had to put his hand to his lip and say, unclean, unclean, unclean. Oh, what a poor, sorry sight. What a loathsome sight. A leper in all his desperate need. My friend, that's how God sees men and women tonight. Loathsome, unclean, diseased, desperate, ruined. Oh, my friend, don't think you can sin and get away with it. Don't think sin has no effect on your life. Don't think your sin has no effect on your family and your home. It does. It defiles. Oh, that we would see sin tonight the way that God sees it. God hates it. God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, and he cannot look on sin. So vile, so loathsome in his sight. My friend, there was only one end for the leper, and that was death. What does the Bible say about sin? The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it's finished, sin, when it has run its full course, brings forth death. That's why we die. Because of sin. And the day that you eat thereof, says God to Adam in the Garden of Eden, and the day you eat thereof, you will die. And the very principle of death came in because of sin. Oh, my friend, leprosy just affected a few individuals. But sin affects every individual. It affects me tonight. It affects you. It makes us vile. It makes us loathsome in the sight of God. It's a desperate thing of sin. Don't play around with it. Don't try to shrug it off tonight. Face up to the reality of your personal sin and your personal need as a sinner. That's what this man did. That's what the man that we read about at the end of Mark chapter 1, that's what he did. He faced up to his need. He was a leper. He was diseased. He was vile. He was loathsome. He needed a saviour. He needed someone to cleanse him and make him anew. And he knew there was only one that could do it. It was Christ. My friend, if God by his Holy Spirit tonight gives you a little glimpse of that dreadful spiritual disease that's rampant in your body tonight, in your life tonight, I tell you, you'll be wanting a saviour. You'll be wanting someone to cleanse you. You'll be wanting someone to make you anew tonight if you just get a little glimpse of the loathsomeness and the vileness of your sin. But if you think that sin is still something to enjoy, and it's still something to play around with, my friend, you'll have no interest in coming to the Saviour. But the minute you realise the seriousness of your sin and the consequences of sin, I tell you, you'll be crying out for a Saviour as this man was. Think of his attitude as he comes to Christ. He came earnestly and he came desperately. It says that he came beseeching, he came imploring, he came begging. You see, here's a man in whom there's no pride, there's no arrogance. All his own resources are gone. His self-reliance has been stripped from him. And he is in all his need. And he's begging the Lord Jesus. He's really trying to, Lord, meet my need. I need you. Lord, I need you. My friend, can I say very kindly tonight, you need him as well. You need him. I wonder, my friend, do you feel within your heart a need for Christ? This man felt it. And he comes and he's prepared to take the place of a beggar. And he comes low, beseeching, begging. What he's really saying is this, Lord, if you don't meet my need, I'm finished. I'm finished. Lord, I've got nowhere else to go. I've got no resources within myself to help me, and there's no resources in society. Lord, you're my only hope, and I'm begging you, Lord, make me clean. My friend, can I tell you, Christ's your only hope, honey. He's your only hope. Because you don't have it within yourself to cleanse you, and there's nothing in society will cleanse you, and there's nothing even in religion that will cleanse you. My friend, it's only the precious blood of Christ that will cleanse you. And Christ, your only hope. Oh, there may be someone tonight that is earnest. Oh, there may be somebody that would just get low in the presence of God and cry out. And all them. I noticed he came reverently. It says that he came kneeling. He came kneeling. I thought that was nice, you know. He came kneeling. He realised that Christ was a far better man than he was. He realised he was standing in the very presence of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ of God, God's Son in flesh. And he came kneeling. He came kneeling. Oh, my friend, you know, one of the problems in our society is there's no fear of God in the eyes of men. We're living in a godless society. When the name of God and the name of His precious Son, Jesus, is blasphemed day and daily, we're even living in days when on our television screens there are those that would portray Christ in means and ways that are absolutely demeaning to His lovely character. Blasphemy. Oh, the importance of having right thoughts about Christ and a right attitude towards Christ. It's serious to take His name in vain. Serious. Now here's our man, and he realizes who Christ is. And he's on his knees. You ever been on your knees before Christ? I notice he not only comes earnestly and comes reverently, he comes humbly. He says, if you're willing, if you're willing, if you're willing. There's nothing presumptuous here. There's no arrogance here. He doesn't think that he deserves a cure, and he doesn't think that Christ owes him anything. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You see, there are people who think that God owes them something. Think that Christ owes them something. My friend, I want to tell you, God owes you nothing. You owe God everything. You owe God the very breath that you breathe today. The prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, he says, God, in whose hand thy breath is. You owe God everything tonight. You owe Him the very food that you've eaten. You know, you owe Him the very breath that you breathe. God owes you nothing. He comes in absolute humility. He says, if you're willing, if you're willing. There's nothing presumptuous here. He's just casting himself on the grace and the kindness and the mercy of the Lord and the willingness of the Lord. The wonderful thing is, as we read the story, we discover that the Lord was willing. I want to tell you, my friend, in the meeting tonight, that the Lord is more willing to save you than you are to be saved. Of course He's willing. He's willing right at this very moment to save you if you'll come to Him and cry to Him in all your needs. He's willing. I notice He not only came earnestly and reverently and humbly, He came believingly. He says, if you're willing, you can. If you're willing, you can. He says, I believe that if you want to, you can save me. You can cleanse me. You believe. Do you believe tonight in the ability of the Lord Jesus to meet your needs as a sinner? Do you believe He can cleanse you? Do you believe He can change you? Do you believe He can give you new life tonight? That He can forgive you of all your sins and save your soul for eternity? Do you believe tonight? You see, that's where it all rests upon. It all rests upon our faith. Without faith. My friend, I wonder tonight, do you believe? God, by His Spirit, will give you a little glimpse of yourself and all the loathsomeness and uncleanness and vileness of your sin. My friend, do you believe? You believe that Christ can cleanse you? You can. That precious blood that He shed on the cross can cleanse from every sin. It can cleanse the vilest sinner. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe He can cleanse you? This man believed it. This man believed it. I noticed He came confessingly. He says, make me clean, make me clean. he was really confessing he was unclean. He was really confessing that he was vile. He was really confessing that he was loathsome in his condition. But he's saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He's just really confessing before the Lord his need for cleansing. Remember one night in the first week, those that were here would remember that we turned to Psalm 51 and we thought of the words of David the psalmist as he comes into the presence of God just burdened about his sin. And he cries, cleanse me, purge me, wash me. Just wants to be made clean. Oh, my friend, I tell you, if you just get a little glimpse of your sin tonight, I tell you, you'll be wanting to be made clean. You'll be wanting to confess it. You'll be wanting to get rid of it. You'll be wanting to get it shed from you altogether. If you're willing, he says, you can make me clean. My friend, that's what you need as a sinner tonight. You need cleansing. You need washing. You need to be purged from all the defilement of sin. Praise God, Christ can do it tonight because he's alive. But I noticed that he came specifically, he said, thou canst make me clean. You see, didn't he just come to the Lord and say, Lord bless me. Lord bless me. What a blessing. You see, there's a lot of that in this Christian circles today, isn't it? People wanting a blessing. And they go forward at different meetings for a blessing. My friend, this man wasn't wanting a blessing. This man was just wanting a cleansing. He wasn't wanting something exciting and something thrilling. He was just wanting something that was absolutely necessary. He was wanting cleanse from his sin. That's what you need tonight. You don't need a blessing. You don't need a slaying in the spirit. You don't need the gift of another tongue. My friend, what you need is cleansing. What you need is forgiveness. What you need is the washing away of your sins in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That's what you need tonight. And the man comes and that's all he asks for. That's all he's asking for. He's not even asking for any add-on extras. He's just asking for cleansing. He's asking for cleansing. Praise God. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ asking for cleansing, there's a whole host of add-on extras that he gives to us. My friend, we've got to be conscious of our need, and our great need tonight as sinners is that we might be cleansed, that we might be cleansed. I noticed he came personally, he says, make me clean, make me clean, make me clean. You see, as we read through the Gospels, it was obvious there were other lepers in Palestine at that time, but I tell you, he wasn't interested in them, he was only interested in himself. My friend, I want to encourage you tonight to be selfish tonight. I want you to forget about everything else. Forget about your family. Forget about your friends. Forget about the people that brought you to the meeting tonight. My friend, it's you that's the issue tonight. It's your sins that need cleansing. It's you that needs the Saviour. In order that you might be selfish tonight and just coming to the Lord Jesus and just bowing before him and saying, Lord, if you're willing, cleanse me. Cleanse me. I noticed he came very briefly. Only 8 words, that was all he said. Well, there was actually only 5 words in the original language that he spoke. 5 words! That was all! That was all that was needed. If you be willing, you can make me clean. And he just comes and he throws himself on the grace and the kindness and the mercy of the Lord. That's all he does. He just casts himself before him. Lord, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. He just leaves it there. You see, some people find it very difficult to, how can I become a Christian? How can I get saved? And what do I need to say? And my friend, it's just a cry from the heart. It's not about a set form of words. It's not about a sinner's prayer. It's just a cry from the heart. A cry out of desperate need. And that's where the man is, isn't it? He's conscious of his desperate need. He's a leper.
and he's loathsome and he's vile and he's diseased and he's dying and he needs a saviour, he needs cleansing, and he cries to the Lord in deep humility, and the Lord meets his need. You know, it said the Lord looked at him and had compassion. The Lord was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. I don't know how I would have felt. This is one of the untouchables of society. One of the unlovables. The outcasts. The Lord just looked at him. His whole inside was just moved with love. That's a challenge to my heart to meet as a Christian. And I challenge the heart of every Christian today. There are folks today in our society that are treated by society as lepers. The outcast. The smackheads, the junkies, and all the names and the alkies and all the names that are called on. My friend, what about you as a Christian? How do you look upon them? I wonder if you move with the same compassion as Christ is moving. Just to look at them and see them in all their distance and reach out with a hand of love, the hand of deep compassion. My friend, I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter what society thinks about you, I want to tell you Christ loves you. And society might cast you to the side and down-cry you and decry you. But I want to tell you, my friend, Christ cares for you. Christ cares for you. He sees your need. He sees the wreck and ruin of your life, and he loves you. And I noticed that he not only had compassion, it's as he put out his hand and he touched him. Ever wonder what that meant for that man? Christ didn't need to touch him.
You read through the Gospels and you discover there were occasions when people that were sick were miles away from the Lord Jesus, and he simply spoke, and the very power of Christ travelled over miles, and the man was cleansed.
And yet here's a poor, loathsome, vile leper, and the Lord touches him. He never felt a human touch from Jesus. Christ touched him. Just to convey to him, just to express the deep feelings and the deep love that he has. My friend, I don't care how deep you're sunken. You might be in the very pit of sin. You might be the greatest sinner that's ever walked in this scene of time. You might, my friend, be wallowing in the very pit of immorality. Let me tell you, Christ loves you. He loves the unlovable, he'll touch the untouchable. Because he's very God. You become truly human, my friend. He was this dear man, and there he was, and he's coming to the Lord Jesus in all his humility. If you're willing, of course he's willing. That's why Christ came from heaven, because he was willing to save.
Willing to save the vilest sinner that would call out to him. That's why he came from heaven. That's why he went to Calvary, to show that he was willing to save.
Not only to show that he was willing, but to show that he was able. He's able to save to the uttermost, and the old preachers used to say, and he's also able to save to the guttermost. All those that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for the transgressor. Oh, my friend, tonight we're preaching one that's willing to save you.
We're preaching one that's able to save you.
We're preaching one that's available to save you tonight. Just where you are, if you're prepared just to come to him in simple faith, and the man out of a sense of needy cry, and the Lord heard his cry and the Lord responded, and it says immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Immediately. You might have come into this meeting tonight in all the vileness and lustfulness of your sin. My friend, that sin can depart from you now.
God has promised that those that trust in his Son, that their sins and iniquities he'll remember no more. He'll remove them from us as far as the east is from the west. And those of us who have come to the Saviour can say, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. They've departed from me the minute I trusted Christ. What about you today? Are your sins still clinging to you, that filthy garment, making you vile and loathsome before God? My friend, every spot can be removed tonight. Every stain can be gone. The power of sin can be broken because Christ is willing and Christ is able. And right now Christ is available to save all those that call upon his name. I notice the Lord Jesus Christ gave the man a call to obedience. He says, okay, he says, now, he says, you're cleansed. And he says, he sent him away. And he says, go and see the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which were commanded by Moses. And the man went and did the very opposite. How sad. How sad. You see, what the Lord really wants for those of us who put our trust in him, he wants us to be obedient. He wants us to do what he asks us to do. You see, this isn't a Jewish setting, and way back in the Old Testament there were very clear laws that were given, clear commandments as to how lepers were to be treated. And when a leper was cleansed, you know, there was a certain procedure that had to go through, and the Lord said to him, you'll need to go through that procedure. And he said, no, and he went and published abroad all the things that the Lord had done for him. But you see, that wasn't what the Lord asked him to do. You see, the Lord is looking for people to be obedient to him, not just to come to him for cleansing from their sins, but he wants them to become his disciples. He wants us to become his followers. He wants to be total Lord of our lives, and what he asks us to do, he wants us to do. I wonder if there's some disobedient Christians in the meeting tonight. If you're in the meeting and you've never been baptized, then you're a disobedient Christian. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is very clear, he's very forthright, that as the command was given to the disciples to go and preach the gospel, it was that they might baptize. And right through the New Testament, we'll discover that those that trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they were baptized because the Lord Jesus had asked them to be baptized. They were obedient. And I don't have time to go any more with that tonight, but my friend, if we've really trusted the Lord Jesus and he's cleansed us from our sin and he's made us his own, he wants us to be obedient. He wants us to obey everything that he goes to us in this word. And that's why it's important as Christians to read the book and to practice what the Lord would teach us from his Holy Scriptures. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, again, we just commit to thee the word that has been preached. We thank you for the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank you that blood has lost nothing of its ancient power. We thank you, God, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is still able to cleanse the every sinner that comes to the Lord Jesus in faith. And we thank you, God, for all that have come to the meeting tonight. And thou knowest every heart, thou knowest every need. And we're just praying, our God, that those that are still in their sins tonight would just cry out to the Lord and that they would know his cleansing power. So, our Father, we pray that they would take glory to thy name tonight and honour thy Son in the salvation of sinners. That would be our prayer as we pray a parting blessing now in the Lord's name. Now, just a closing hymn. It's 268. We'll sing the first and third verses, just remaining seated, just to bring the meeting to an orderly close. 268 says, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Verse 3 says, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Now, these are the two verses with the chorus that we're going to sing. And after that, the meeting is over. We just thank you again for coming. I've managed to get another stock of these booklets. They're free of charge. I'll have some at the back. If anybody would like one of these booklets, they're free of charge. Then just feel free to ask me for it and take it home and read it. And we would really pray that God would use the contents of these little booklets just to bring you to that real personal, deep relationship with the Lord Jesus. Through faith. So the closing hymn is 268 verses 1 and 3. Thanks.